Well, today we start, actually, we're in the last two verses of chapter 3. So could I have someone read, actually, you can read it from the overhead or read it from your Bible, 22 through 24, and 1 John chapter 3.
And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And we know this by that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us.
Great. Thanks, Marilyn. Okay. Well, what's interesting is these two verses are going to kind of answer a question that may have appeared. I listened to the tape from last week, and you know, he did a great job. He has so much information. He's so enthusiastic.
He's
and he
the
did,
professor.
Yes, exactly. He is, you know. So anyway, but I noticed he didn't really. And actually, I was kind of thankful in a way. He didn't really get into, well, what's this? Because we keep his commandments, and what's all that about? So actually, Scripture many times answers its own questions. We're going to answer the question about his commandments and what are they. We're going to spend quite a bit of time on that. So if you notice, it talks about his commandments in verse 22, and then it kind of gives basically, it's going to define what those commandments are. There's a difference between singular and plural, I noticed in here, and actually I searched on both singular and plural. So it seems like that actually 23 is actually a, in my mind, there are two statements there. So anyway, I don't know. I didn't actually come to any great conclusions about singular commandments and plural commandments. There's obviously more than one as stated in 23. Anyway, so I'm wasn't really. And we go down basically in 24, and it talks about the results of his commandments. And it's actually, I think you're going to find that it's kind of surprising. Maybe not surprising, but maybe encouraging that, you know, under grace, he's telling us not to be upset by commandments, because commandments are really Christ's very nature. And it took me a while as I looked through this, and I've gone through this verse before. In some ways, when we think commandments, we think of the Mosaic Law, and we're going to talk about that a lot today. But I think we should be comfortable when it's his or my commandments. That's really a statement of under grace, and hopefully we can show that. Okay, so let's. So I kind of like to go through and just, you know, identify the subject verb and whatever else parts of speech. And I actually, this is not, you know, there are aids to do this. This is not me necessarily going into the Greek. Hal would do this. Hal would go through, look at the Greek, and he would identify by himself the subject verb. But there are great aids out there, so I make use of the aids. And so anyway, so and it helps sometimes. In this case, maybe it's not super helpful. This is the first little clause here. This is his commandment. So I'm not going to spend much time on that. And it's in the present tense. So the first question is, what does his commandment mean? And we actually kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. I think Bob actually, when I had one class, I know we had some dialogue on the email. What's he talking about here? I want to kind of give you a few little hints here. But
he's talking about Christians.
Okay. Okay, but
his commandments.
Okay, so would you identify? You know,
well, if you call yourself a Christian and you don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is who He says He is,
okay.
That's commandment one.
And then whether you love the brethren.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Vicki.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Love one another.
Okay. And that's what we're going to see. When he starts talking about his commandments or my commandments, it's a personal relationship, and it's totally different than the law of Moses, for example, because, you know, if you look at Romans 6:14, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And Vern's been spending, how long has he been? We started in the Old Testament, he's been spending the last 6 months, I don't know, it's been a long time, going over this very, very issue, law versus grace. So John is going to present Christ's commandments, and we've already kind of been down this path a little bit, and he's going to show that they're really a gracious commandment, and that they're a relationship. And it's not something being held over our head, it's describing a relationship. And we're not to, you know, I see the word commandments, and I kind of get well, I know I'm not under law. I get a little uptight when I see the word commandment. But the more you look at this, the more you see what it is. It's to show us that's really Christ's very character. And because we have Christ in us, it's actually no issue. If we have Christ's very life, we can live Christ's life, which will... He obeyed his Father's commandments. That's what was kind of neat. You go through that and you say, well, Christ obeyed his Father's commandments. Did he? Did he get his list out? Let's see. Okay, the Father says, I've got to do this and do that. No, he didn't do that. That was he and the Father are one. And who are we one with? So it's the same picture. And that's just so refreshing and so freeing. So the commandments don't make us uptight with the my and the he in front of it. We're to relax and say, that's his plan, his purpose.
What made it neater was that he didn't use his own willpower to make it possible. The Holy Spirit was abiding in him just as it is in the believer.
And that's exactly where we're heading today. It's exactly that picture. So we're going to see that picture. It's going to be exactly true of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the Spirit is going to be the mechanism which gives us confidence that his commandments are not burdensome. They're not. It's his life. So we don't worry. We don't sweat it, so to speak. We trust him. We rely upon him. All right, so basically, the phrase, his commandments and my commandments, they first appear, and Bob covered this a little bit back earlier, what's called the Upper Room Discourse, in 13 through 17. And actually, there's some verses I'd like to read here, just to kind of get our feet on the ground here. So let's turn to John 14. John 14. Can I get someone to read verse 15? How about 15 and 21 in John 14?
If you love me, keep my commandments. And then 21.
Right.
He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him.
Great. Yeah. Thank you. That's great. So you see that he talks about in this case, his commandments, he talks about in the context of love, in context of relating to his Father. And what we're going to find is that as we walk in the Lord, as we abide in Christ, his commandments come out as a natural response to that, a natural aspect of that. If we're not abiding, and that's we've seen verses to that, talk about that earlier, then we'll walk contrary to that and won't be following, quote, his commandments. Let's also look at, how about John 15? And actually, cross out 21, and 21, it's just verse 10. John 15, 10. Did someone read that one?
If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
Right. So here's the thing. The Lord Jesus, was it burdensome for him to abide in his Father's commandments? No. Because he and the Father are one. They have the same essence. In the same way, is it burdensome for us to follow his commands as we walk with him? We have the very life of Christ. It should not be. And that's kind of the message that comes through here. So this is one of freedom. These two verses are one of great freedom because of his commandments and the implication of that. All right, so let's go on. And actually, we're going to expand on that. So basically, this is the one we just read, 15:10. And so just some observations. In the verses that we read and the other verses, there's no reference here to the law of Moses. And, you know, when Christ, and Vern's talked about that, when Christ spoke to the Jewish people, he always told them to obey the law of Moses. He said, and for example, you look in Matthew, this is just one example, Matthew 12:5, or have you not read in the law? He would refer them constantly back. The nation of Israel, when he talked to the Jewish people, he would say, have you not read? Did not Moses say? He would constantly point them back to the law of Moses. So that's a different dispensation. When he talked to in the upper room, he talked to his disciples looking forward to the church age. The ball game changed. He never said, look to the law of Moses. He said, these are my commandments. So the picture is different between the church and Israel. And so that's really important to... So basically, no reference to the law of Moses. Keeping Christ's commandments speaks of a relationship with Christ. Those commandments come out of this relationship. Just like Christ obeyed his Father's commandments, came out of the relationship with his Father, because they're one, we have the same picture for us.
Is it the same word?
Say it, the same word for?
Same word for commandments in the Greek?
Yeah.
Both of them?
Oh, for the... Well, now remember, if we talk about the law, law wouldn't be the same word. Commandments, what you're asking is about...
Well, because they, I mean, I don't think, does the Bible necessarily call it the thing?
And actually, it's a different phraseology. They use the word law. The word law, is, if you're talking about the law of Moses, but I didn't do that, and that would be interesting, so I didn't do a search on that to see, would I be able to find some times where it talks about commandments referring to the law of Moses, and I didn't really do that, I didn't look up that aspect. But most of the cases, most of the time it talks about the law, are you under the law? And it said in that verse, we're not under the law. So the law of Moses is referred to as the law most times, I'm not sure it's commandments. Commandments is entelae and law is nomos or whatever it is. Go ahead.
This whole situation, the context is everything. If we're looking at the this part, we're not looking at the things of the law of Moses. It's a different deal, like you say,
right.
Different ballgame.
Right.
And if you treat it as that kind of situation, regardless of what the temptation is to fit the word forms, then it's got to be this. It can't be that.
Right. And Christ is very specific. You know, it occurs in, you know, in the Upper Room Discourse, and then of course, you know, we see grace taught all by Paul, and then we see it, and then we see John again in the Epistle of John, the First John. We see him talk, and also Second John. We see him talking about my commandments and his commandments again. Another point is that basically, you know, that Christ says he kept his Father's commandments, and we kind of covered that a little bit. Let's see, anything else I want? Any thoughts here before we move on to them? Another thing I think we're going to see here, there's a connection. You can't have, the connection I saw as we go through these verses here, it talks about abiding in Christ, abiding in the Lord, abiding in Christ and keeping commandments. You can't separate those two. If you do, then you're back under law. If you try to separate, say, well, I'll keep my commandment. I'll do what he says. I'll love my neighbor, and you do that without abiding in him, you miss the whole boat. The connection between a fellowship relationship, which abiding is, that fellowship relationship with the Lord, and my commandments and his commandments, you can't separate those two. And that kind of hit me as I kind of went through here.
So, Roger, if you look back at John 14, which you turned to a little bit earlier, I mean, in context, his commandments relate to the promise of the Comforter coming.
Exactly.
So, in fact, in the absence of the Holy Spirit, his commandments are under law, are they not? But
that's a good point, because you have no mechanism to execute them.
So, secondly, I mean, you're going to get to this in verse 23, but in terms of his commandments, plural, is all about his life in us. It's everything.
That's
it's
a good
empowered
point.
By the Spirit and the new creation we all are. So
good.
In the absence of the Holy Spirit, we're under law.
Exactly.
But Christ promised us the Comforter.
Right. And that's going to be, and we're going to see at the end, that's going to be evidence that he's abiding in you by the Spirit he gave you. Donna?
So is there an aspect there of Christ keeping his Father's commandment because he was now a man? Because he came as a man.
Oh, that's interesting. I had not. Yeah, I see what you're saying. He's a man. He's a God man, but he's still fully God. So, he's empowered by. Go ahead.
Before he became man, he was the Son of God. Did he keep his Father's commandments?
I know. Your head starts hurting here a little bit after a while. Let's see. I don't know. I kind of see where you're headed, but I'm not sure I know where to go with it, to tell you the truth. I don't know. I mean, he retained his, you know, he was fully God and fully man. So that's the part that's kind of sticking in my head. So how do we, and he depended upon the Spirit of God. We know that. So I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, I have another comment that's kind of along those lines. But then we'll answer.
Okay.
But I just keep thinking about the verse that says that Jesus learned obedience through suffering.
Okay.
So did he ever not obey?
I know.
He didn't not obey.
I know.
But he learned his Father's will.
Yeah, I know. That's
obedience. Kind of the same topic.
You guys have read really interesting
things.
Tom.
It reminds me of a song about rabbit trails. And it's brief. I'm Freddy Fudd, the forest ranger. Come on in and say, howdy, stranger. I look for rabbits, and that ain't funny. My biggest job is to catch bugs. Funny.
I know.
Okay. Would you like to interpret that for us?
Rabbit trail.
That was rabbit trail.
Oh, I see. Okay. Wow. That'll be fine. Okay, it's a big rabbit trail. Okay, well. Bob, you have
anything? you've got to go back to Philippians, you know, in terms of his being equal to God.
Right.
I mean, the triune God is not keeping, Christ not keeping God's commandments. In fact, he's made equal to God, but then, you know, sacrificed his heavenly position to come here and have the God nature be enacted in his human life. I mean, I don't think Christ thought, as you pointed out earlier, looking at the...
Yeah, he gets his list out here. So, well, let's see. I got
he effectively lived in the flesh.
No.
This deity, you know, persuaded him minute after minute. He was not working at it.
No, he wasn't working at it.
But by faith, that oneness with God transformed him in a human existence.
Right. He had no sin nature, so he didn't have the struggle that we have in the sense that between the sin nature and a new nature. He had only his... You know, only his divine nature. So there was that was, but he depended upon. You know, Scripture talks about that. You know, he depended upon that. He had his Father's commandments. It's a tough thing.
But he humbled himself.
And he learned obedience. You know, he learned obedience. You think, wow, it sounds like he's learned something he didn't know. But I don't know. To my mind, they're tough because you dare not degrade the deity of God to fill in some fleshly thing. Well, he's learning obedience. Oh, I can learn like he learned, and you know,
had the world, even though he didn't have a sin nature.
Right.
The world system.
Right.
He was part of.
Right.
Which is one of the things we also, in
exactly.
addition to the sin nature,
right.
deal with the
right.
the world system.
Right.
So that was certainly there.
Right. And sinful men were all abounded around him,
exactly.
obviously. So.
Not that he was tempted to sin, but it was just that was surrounding him,
mm-hmm.
and those influences were there.
Mm-hmm.
But,
good.
But see, that's where the identification life
mm-hmm.
Plays out, in that we're in Paul's epistles identified positionally. And then we see what that life looks like in the second part of Paul's epistles. And effectively, you know, the human existence is what we're, you know, live by faith to be, you know, created.
Right. Okay, we better move on. We only got his commandments so far, is all we've done. Okay, okay. So the first part is this is his commandment, and now he's going to talk about the commandment that we believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and believe is a word for pistuo, which is believe. Faith sometimes is used for that word. It's trust, placing confidence in. And we surrender this. We should believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ. And something I found as I looked. So we're going to look at the fact of believing in His name. That's kind of a cool thing. But the verb tense here of this believe is aorist subjunctive. And in looking at this, this isn't my observation, but and actually what I found was some people would just say, is this talking about salvation? Is this saying that we believe in the name? Is that talking about our salvation, do you think?
Abiding in Christ. That's not
okay.
the same thing. It's moving another step.
Okay. All right. I like that. That's better. So actually, some commentators said that they thought this was salvation, and I didn't agree with that. And actually, spending a little time with it, that there's various forms of the aorist tense, and this is one which is called aorist constitutive. And it looks at the whole picture of the believer's life as a singular picture of an event. So it's basically saying that this is picturing the whole life of a believer. This is a command that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Or better, the name represents all that Christ is. We believe in the very person of Christ. And that is talking about, that's our Christian life. That's what we're to be about. So that's kind of what... And that's why we surrender it, that we should believe. Because we may not, you know, as we walk our Christian life, we may not do that. We may look to self. So the admonition here is that we look at Christ for our entire Christian life viewed. That's the goal of our Christian life, to Christ is it. So that's the one that seemed to be more to the point and made more sense for this is my commandment, Tom.
And that's how we put it, hanging out with Jesus.
Hanging out with Jesus, right. I like that. Okay, so let's go on here. Okay, let's just move on here quickly. Okay, now the idea of the name. Name implies authority, character, rank, majesty. So when we say we believe in the name, now let me just read a little quote here I thought was good. The word name stands for all that the Son of God is in his wonderful person. So basically, this is focusing on the person of Christ. When we say in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, it's focusing on Christ himself. Now, I have a couple of verses here, and some, after looking at them, the first one, in 1 John, this is way back in chapter 1, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. That one seems like that's identifying salvation. John 5:13, we'll get to here in a while. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This one, I haven't studied it out, and I don't know whether it's... there's another point here. I'm kind of apologize. The idea of the word in here, actually, in our verse, it might be better translated, believe the name. In fact, let me see. Do I have that here? Let's go back here.
Under Wiest, you had that.
Yeah, I had that. Where did I have it?
Where the word in is not there.
Exactly,
it's just
exactly.
The name.
Yeah, right here, right. So actually, there is not a definite Greek word for in. It's assumed as part of the definite article. So Wiest translates, we should believe the name. And that actually fits more, again, in the context of we're believing in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's talking about the whole picture of the believer's life in Christ. So, okay. So that's, I kind of zoomed through that. So basically, part one of this commandment is believing in the name, believe the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then part two is to love one another. And we saw this in various, we read through this in other passages. So we're to believe, love one another, and one another is one another, mutual, each other. And there's a bunch of verses for that, which we're not going to have time to really go through. But actually, the one I do want to look at is, let's look at John, Gospel of John, chapter 13. And let's look at, I'm going to read verse 34. So it's Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So, it says a new commandment. And then Bob, this is another case, we've been through this before a little bit. Bob went through this a little bit earlier. And I did a new commandment, which isn't really a new commandment, it's an old commandment, and so on. The new commandment is a new and quality commandment. And it's really this new relationship between the believer and the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sense that they have the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I know we're kind of going here quickly. Let's see here. And then lastly, the last part of that verse is just as he commanded us. And it seemed like he was just referring back again to... He starts off, and I'll read the Wiest translations at the bottom here again. And this is the commandment, namely, we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and be habitually loving one another, even as he commanded us. And it seemed like it was referring back to when, possibly back to Upper Room Discourse, the fact that he gave out that commandment in the Upper Room. he got this new commandment that we just read in John 13. So it seemed like he states that this is his commandment, and he states the commandment, and they said, even as he gave this commandment to us. And what's interesting is, if you look in this kind of the parallel to what the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, let's look at chapter 12 of the Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 49. And it says, here's another statement about Christ's relationship to his Father. Verse 49 of chapter 12. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but as the Father who sent me gave me commandment what to say and what to speak. So, once again, he says, he's, even as he gave us commandment, the Father gave the Lord Jesus commandment. So the picture seems to be, I know, kind of complete. We're in this relationship with the Son, which is a picture of the relationship with the Father. So we have a relationship with the Son that pictures a relationship with the Father, which I thought was kind of neat. Okay.
As the Logos, that's true.
Say again?
As being the Logos, that's true.
Absolutely. Right. Okay, so here's the second verse. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him. So now we're going to kind of move into the idea of talking about his commandments and how that relates to abiding in him. So the subject here is kind of this long phrase, the one keeping his commandments, and this word abides is a meno, to continue, dwell, endure, be present, hang out. Hal used to use the word hang out for this one. And actually, I think you could also put the word fellowship in here, because in the context of 1 John, we're talking about fellowship so much of the time. So when the word abide kind of shows up, I think it kind of is focusing on our conditional abiding in the Lord Jesus. So he's going to talk about the relationship between his commandments and our abiding in him. Okay, the word keep is to observe, to watch, to keep your eyes fixed on. And it's in the present tense, so it's continual action. So what it reminded me of this verse in Hebrews, fixing our eyes upon Jesus. So keeping our, this is another cool thing. So this lessens the burdens of commandments. So what's keeping? So, I got to keep it. It says that keeping, that word means looking to Jesus, focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it fits in so wonderfully. It's not this burdensome thing he's laying on our backs. It's looking to Jesus, observing what he's doing, keeping his command, is looking at his commandments, which ultimately is looking at him. And so there's a bunch of verses for that. I'm trying to think. Let's just look at, let's go back to 1 John. We'll just look at one of those. Look at the middle one, 1 John 2, verses 3 and 4. And if someone gets there, could they read that, please? I'm sorry, I'm looking through here. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5, I'm sorry.
We know that we have come to know him if we obey his command. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him.
So this talks about, again, keeping or obeying his commandments, fixing our eyes on his commandments. And the more I looked at this, the more I thought, well, you know, just like it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, when we look at his commandments, we're looking at him. And that's great freedom. Because once again, commandments makes me uptight. Go ahead, Donna.
Well, what ran through my mind is that,
okay,
you know, with the sin nature that we have, what happened is that we don't understand the relationship between Christ and the Father and the Spirit. This oneness where you
right.
maintain your individuality
right.
and yet Christ could say, I do nothing of myself, but only what I see my Father doing. We have to study this because we don't understand that concept.
Exactly.
To come from is totally selfish. How can I be totally in Christ and still maintain who I am? Unless you're reading about
right.
who Christ is.
Right.
And what he's about, right?
That's good, Don. I like that. So the focus, when we focus on his commandments, we're focusing on Christ. I mean, that's what kind of came, wow, wait a minute. I'm not to get uptight about this. I'm focusing, as I abide in Christ, abide in him, I'm focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is not law, it's grace. So anyway, I hope this is, I mean, I keep having the same point about 20 times. I hope this is making sense. And, okay.
But if you think about it, Roger,
sure.
that's the only way anything that we do. We can't love our neighbor, we can't
right.
love our spouse, our children, everything that is that unconditional kind of grace.
Right. right.
The only way we can do that is by focusing on the Lord And then that life lives through us. I mean, that's the only way
right,
any of
exactly,
it happens.
Right, exactly. If we go back to a list of, quote, commandments,
yeah.
And Christ never did that. He never got out, pulled out of his pocket, here are my commandments. He and the Father are one, and we and the Son are one, and we have the same relationship, our new nature. Okay, so what's cool about this is, here's this duality statement, which we see quite a bit in Scripture. The believer, the one, abides in Him, Christ, and He, the believer abides in Him, Christ, and He, Christ, abides in Him. So we see that, especially like, and this is continuous action, like a very familiar verse in John 15:4, abide in Me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in Me. So this states that, essentially, this states that the one who keeps His commandments or focuses on Him abides in Him and He in Him. So it makes sense. It hangs together. And see what was in... Okay, so let's look at this 1 John 4:16 here for a second. So this is going to introduce... What I found is that it talks about our abiding relationship with Christ, and it has other comments in relation to that. In our verse here, it talks about keeping His commandments as we abide in Him, and He abides in us. Well, this verse in 4:15 and 16 has a little bit different statement. Now, let me just read that. Okay, it says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And he who comes to know, and we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us, God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So we see that, we'll get to these verses down the road, but it's in addition to, these are other parameters about this abiding relationship that happen. And, you know, they make sense in the context of the life of Christ. Of basically confessing who Christ is, and having God's love, basically. Okay. All right. So let's go on here. And okay. So now it's going to say, how do we know that he's answering the question? How do we know that? How can we trust that God is really abiding in us? He's trying to answer that question. And it says, we know by this that He abides in us. And this know is gnosko, the know of experience. He abides in us. And Wiest has it, and in this we know experientially that He is abiding in us. So, and what's the this? By the Spirit whom He has given us. So the fact that we know that God is guaranteed to abide in us is by the Spirit who's given us. So let's just look at a couple of verses about the Spirit being given to us. So I have a positional verse and a conditional verse here. So if someone could read James chapter 4, verse 5, that'll be the first verse. James chapter 4, verse 5.
Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Or to no purpose.
Right.
I have written in that.
Okay. There's another part to it, I hope. Is it 4 or 5? Doesn't it have a little bit more? I hope it has a little more.
No. Mine doesn't.
Maybe it's 6.
I must have been at something. Okay. Wow, sorry.
But He gives us more grace. Therefore, He said, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble.
Okay, well, I guess I... Okay, let me look here. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's say James chapter 5.
Or let's say James 4:5.
Okay, James 4:5. Or do you not think that the Scriptures speak to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. That was written a little differently, but yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, I was looking for the very last part of that, which is, you know, it says He has made, speaking of the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us. So God by His has made the Spirit of God dwell in us. Or other translations have it, take up permanent residence in it. So the Spirit of God has taken up, when you believe, has taken up permanent residence in the believer. So that's the positional aspect. Now the conditional aspect is in Romans 8:16. So how about someone read that, Romans 8:16.
The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God.
Okay. So now back to our verse here. It says that the way we know that we abide in Him and He in us is by the Spirit whom He has given us. And then there's a very... So basically, or Weiss has it, from the Spirit as a source whom He gave us. And there's a parallel verse here that we'll cover down the road here in a few months or so. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. And let me just mention one thing. In going through this, and, you know, when I think of abide, let me just ask a question. How do you, when you hear the word abide, we talked about the meaning of it, hang out, be at home. Do you think of position or condition when you hear that verse? I mean, when you hear that that word abide, as it's used quite a few times in Scripture. And maybe this isn't not a problem for some of you, so maybe it's just me, but...
Condition.
Okay, so you would say that's a conditional thing. You may not abide, right? You may not walk with the Lord. You may not fellowship with the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, what I found in some statements, it seems like that abide could be positional, but I haven't really nailed that down, so I'm not gonna. But I just and I anyway. So there are some case. Here's a case here. This verse here is slightly different than our verse. You know, our verse here that we have is just slightly different. Verse 324 reads, "The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him." Oh, maybe it's not as far off as I think. Because, I don't know. Well, it's pretty close. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us. I guess the thing I'm struggling with is that just what we read, the Spirit of God has been given to us as a gift. It's a permit done deal. And from God's side of the picture, He's always there. He's always waiting for us to respond, right? He's not holding back, right? He's waiting for us by faith to abide in Him, to interact with Him. So when it says both of them, I don't know. I'm just struggling with that. Maybe it's just me. But Bob, go ahead.
Roger, why don't we look at Colossians 3:1 okay. and 2 in terms of this abiding?
Okay.
As to where our affections should be.
Well, why don't you go ahead and read that?
If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Is that not abiding above?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. Amen.
Right.
Well, I guess I'm just talking about the fact there's never any doubt about God's abiding in that is never a question. But some of the verses kind of tend to give that flavor, and I just haven't worked it all through. So that's just a little question mark. I studied through this, I said, oh, wait a minute, this is, from God's side, there's never a question. From our side, there is a question. So that's just what I'm struggling with. Okay, so I took my attempt at, I did a Vern here. And I let Bonnie read it, and she says, well, I don't know, Roger, you didn't, you know. When you let your wife read it, you know, you get the real deal here. No, she was very kind.
Roger.
Yes, go ahead. Sure.
A little rabbit trail just
sure.
for a moment.
Okay.
I'm thinking back to after Stephen died and how terribly angry I was for so long with the Lord. And I just argued and fought him and fought him. And couldn't come to peace for so long. And finally, I don't know what happened. It was a spirit, of course. And I was to the point where I didn't want to be that way anymore. And looking at myself, I said the words of, I guess it's Psalm 51, where David says, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me."
Right.
And I just felt like that's really what I deserved. I deserved
for God to take away His Holy Spirit, right.
Of my resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And because I had, in effect, left my faith in Him. I kept going to church and all that, but inside I was seething. And yet,
even as I said that to him in my prayer several different times, the witness of the Holy Spirit was no. You belong to me,
right.
and I'm in you still. I'm the one right. who is faithful, right. not you.
Right. Amen. No, I agree with that. And that's exactly why I struggle with the ones that, you know, where it says that from God's side there may be any doubt. There never can be a doubt about His Spirit right. in relationship to us. So, I don't know. I mean, that's just a little thing that I kind of came across. And so, anyway, that's just...
But He never changes,
absolutely.
No matter what
happens. Absolutely. That's good. Thanks, Gail. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Okay, so here's my attempt. So this doesn't include every part of the verse, but this was helpful to me after I, you know. Christ's commandment is to place our confidence in Him during our entire Christian life. That was the aorist tense I was trying to explain. That this is a total picture. What's the total picture of a Christian life? Christ is the focus, which produces our loving one another as He commanded us. This is a new commandment, new quality commandment under grace. So that leaves a few things out. Okay, verse 2, or verse 24. Abiding. So I flip this around. Abiding in Christ, and Christ abiding in us, results in keeping His commandments. Boy, I think that helps me and that encourages me, because if I put the commandment first, I'm back. As much as I try to do it, I think, that's law, Roger. But it's not law, it's Christ. But this helps me. You cannot separate keeping His commandments from abiding in Him. The Holy Spirit has been given to us as proof that Christ is abiding in us. So that's not every aspect of those verses, but hopefully, you know, this is kind of like a summary and the high points. So anyway. So any last thoughts or comments? You guys have been great. I mean, I appreciate your thoughts and comments. And, okay, well, let's close then. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for Your marvelous grace. Lord, we thank You that for the Spirit You've given us, Lord, that I think of the verse, I will never, never, never leave You or forsake You, Lord. We thank You that that's the case. You never, that time never comes when You stop caring for us or stop desiring that we fellowship with You. We thank You for that. In Christ's name, amen.